שלום לכם, תודה שאתם.
Hello, thank you for being with us in our New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Rav Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. And we want to, along with you, learn from Rav Lyman how to build our life as a new life. What's new life? Simply a better life, a happier life, where we wake up in the morning with a great light in our eyes and we're happy that we're living instead of just turning the alarm clock off 10 times and being sorry that it rang and a new day is starting. New life, like we learned from you so far in these discussions, it's where relations between us, the connections between us are renewed, where the good life is between us, hidden between us, and we can't find this treasure that's here under our hands. And if we know how to put our hands on it and open it, we'll be able to enjoy it and grow more and more and more together. Today, we want to start a new series of talks that takes us, after talking about all kinds of connections between people, today we want to reach the most natural unit in reality, and that's the family unit. We want to gradually understand how to take our life from this family unit to a new place, to a new horizon, new hope, to give people tools, how we can use our home as a place where we grow as people that are capable, as parents, as children, as older, younger, create new relationships with every person, no matter who they are, and take our life to a new place, to new hope. That's our direction today. Nitza, take us into the program. Maybe the first stage is to talk about the reason why we even feel a need to talk about a thing that's so natural. We go from being a couple to the connection between us. We reach a wider connection that becomes a family connection. The connection of two people creates, gives birth to another connection, and that creates a process of expansion and creation of this family unit. So the question is, if it's so natural, why do we have to learn to be parents? And we see that over the last years, this need is growing because something that was so natural once upon a time that we didn't have to think about it too much, over the last few years, it started taking on new forms, and our need as parents to receive information, we have a need how to organize this system called a family. What values do we need to penetrate? All these things are not clear. As a result of this, we can say in the world and in Israel, there's tons and tons of methods how to teach parents, how to raise a family. Meaning, first of all, the parent goes through this process, through some change. And then this process that he goes through, he passes on to his family unit. And the results show at the end of the day that even though there's really nice, wonderful methods and we read lots of books and we go through many workshops and processes, when we look at the results, the bottom line, we see that the family unit is going through a very big, starting to fall apart. We can't pull it together. We can't build it in the correct manner. And that's the reason why we're here in the studio. We're here in this show today. We want to hear from you as an expert on connections between people, relations between people, how we build this family connection in a loving, healthy manner that represents a foundation for the existence of a big society that's made up of family units, healthy family units. So maybe the first question is, as an opening to this process, is the human need for family. Why do we have a need like this? And why do we naturally, why are we inclined to build family units? We need to begin not from a need in the family or family units, but by the fact that we develop, like I always start actually, from the big bang and the development of material, the still to the vegetative degree, to the living degree, animal degree, and we're a result of the animal degree. And that's where we develop. And just like in the inanimate, there's combinations between the various materials there. Those are for, those are against. They have different kinds of electrons that they connect through, even at the inanimate level. Afterward, it's at the vegetative level. There's seasons of connection between them, either through them, or through the wind, or through the birds that transfer things, or flies, and bees, etc. They come into a connection, a vital connection from nature, but nature has laws. Why they connect those with those, all kinds of reasons. The numbers of matings between the plants, and there you can also exchange your gender between plants, and there's also animals that can exchange their gender, change their gender for the sake of multiplying. And this is how it happens. And it's all according to a law. This is male, female, plants, animals, meat, according to all kinds of laws that they verify between them, who suits what. And then they continue. There it's clear why they exist, why these herds exist, and these connections between them to connect the generation. That's the only reason why they're there. A person, since he's a result of the animal level, we're a result of the monkey, but since we left, we came off the trees and we came out of the caves and we started with technology and our development, something that animals don't have. We have emotional and intelligent development in our heart and mind. And in that, we're building a new world for ourselves. And this world causes connections. We're no longer in some herd or some flock, some big tribe where everything's clear what I'm doing, and I get married, and there I finish my life, and that's it. I noticed that in all kinds of places that I'm in, I was in South America and Colombia, Chile, I was in Ireland even, all kinds of places. I saw people that don't leave their village. They just don't go out. They just have no need to go anywhere, never in their lives. They live like the animate level. What is this road leading to out of my village? There's no such thing. And it's in the middle of Ireland. And the same thing in South America. And I'm sure there's lots of places like that in the world. In other words, development depends what kinds of civilizations we're talking about. But still, we're developing. And because of the communication between us, the new types of connections, we're changing the planet, we're changing our environment, the world is becoming smaller, closer. When we look at the news, we see the whole world every night and through the news channels. Our village is a global village. Therefore, in accordance with that, we change. And these changes, I think they began, some say that they began at the beginning of the 20th century, at the First World War, and some say, and I agree with them, they say they started, these global changes started from the atom bomb, that humanity began to understand that it has the weapons to destroy itself. Not all of humanity, a few people that understood it, but still, it's the beginning It's the beginning of the new era. I also connect it to Israel returning to the land of Israel. For me, that's a new era, meaning the beginning of the 20th century, the first Aliyah, the second Aliyah to Israel. And here, great changes were made. Until then, no matter what happened, technology, the global society, would not influence the family. It wouldn't influence the family. I grew up in a family where there it was clear that you live together and don't divorce, that kids, home, first of all, and there's nothing to talk about. That's how I grew up, and that's how it is in my house, no matter what. Family is you begin it, you finish it. You don't get out of it. That's it. And you have to look after it. And a man who looks after the income mainly, the woman looks after the home, everything that happens in the home. It's something that it's been going on for thousands of years. And now when there's this new period, then we see that it's truly a new period with technological development, connections. We on the inside and we on the outside, a person according to his nature and character, an ego, and how he grasps reality. He's no longer capable of being the same person. Instead of 40 years of his life, he now has 80 years. He's not capable, maybe, of truly according to his nature. We see that animals meet for mating for a few months, and that's it. And then this connection dissolves. There's no connection between that same male and female, between mother and her offspring. While it's a baby, there's a connection, but up to 2 years, and that's it. There's animals that it's 4 or 5 years, as much as they need to grow up. Or there's a big flock of elephants or something, they're all together, but still. That's how it happens. And people that connect for so many years, what's the need? What's the point? Apparently, for a person to be able to grow, he needs such a long period of time. And that's why the family is built in such a manner that connections have to be long-term. And we see that despite the kids and all the hardship and everything there is with the divorce, today people get divorced. Today everything is coming apart. They distance themselves so much that they don't even want to be in contact, or just the opposite. They can be in contact, but like friends, completely. They can even, I've seen it with my own eyes. He's with his new wife, his new girlfriend, and she's also, and they can still get together and really be friends, as if there was never anything intimate between them that influences the past to the present. It's unbelievable. We're truly in situations where all this goes by and it's erased. I've seen a man, and I know in my time, a man that would take a woman, then he was very concerned where she was in the past, what she went through in her life. Is she a virgin or not? It was very important. Today, it's not even, there's not even any such thing that disappears from birth, on the one hand. And that's how it's felt from a men's side. They don't even have a demand for that. And he doesn't really care what happened in the past. And sometimes I even heard from men that it's interesting for them to be in contact with a woman who has a rich past, has experience. I don't know what they find in that so much. I don't know why they take someone like that as a wife. The psychology of ours is really changing. And surely There's changes that we need to take into account, to verify, to put them on the table and catalog them, and we need to see what kind of process we're in, what trend we're in. And apparently the trend is such that there's a dissolving, a general dissolving of this institution between a man, a woman, parents. Therefore, there's, what's it called, the pensioners, etc. Between the parents and the kids, I see my neighbors, a neighbor who, according to his car, apartment, and everything where they live, they have everything, they have all the opportunities to do everything. I see at 6:30 in the morning, he goes down with his baby, 2 or 3 months old, with a cup of coffee, gets into the car, takes her to a nursery school or whatever it's called, and with his coffee, he continues to work. They're like high-tech, middle-class people. Same thing with his wife. If there was a strong connection like it was before, the mother wouldn't be able to disconnect for 8 hours a day from her baby. How can you do that? I remember she was on her all the time. She wouldn't leave the baby, and it was always next to her, the baby. In my time, it was like in a basket. We'd put it in the kitchen and on the kitchen counter, but it was always next to her, the baby. Today, you give the baby to a stranger. It just tells you everything about the development of our ego in such a manner that no husband, no baby, no parents, no the parent, the wife toward the husband, we all feel ourselves more and more isolated. In other words, we're getting away from the animal level that we existed in until the beginning of the 20th century, or even up to the middle of the 20th century. That's where the family started to come apart. Therefore, we need to understand that our previous connections no longer work. Also, from the perspective of intimate connections, I don't care to be with the woman, I don't care who she was with before me. She can also come to me with her kids and live with me. There's things that are, there's never been anything like it. There's no borders. And I see how the young people, the younger generation, they're looking at it like this. They used to live, she used to live with her boyfriend a few years at his house, and now they even get married, and they have kids and everything, and they're still in contact with that boyfriend she used to live with. And it's like the world has become very connected in all kinds of ties above sexual family connections. And it doesn't matter. They don't care. In other words, there's some type of additional development inside man, the human development, not the animal level, but the speaking level. That what happened at the previous degree isn't important. And here we're apparently going back to the animal level. It's interesting because with animals it can be like that. That some tiger with a lion, they can meet. Maybe she'll mate with her son a few months later. Maybe we'll reach that point also. We might even reach that in our time. After this transformation of what I'm seeing that we're going through, I wouldn't be surprised if that will happen as well. Just like today, We're used to homosexuality and all kinds of connections between people. That can also happen. That can also be the new norm. If we disconnect so much from our parents, the parents from us, the parents between themselves, brothers and sisters, if the family really, after a few years, comes apart and throws kids and husband and wife to all kinds of directions, some inner explosion, then we can reach all kinds of other kind of connections in the future. We're living for so many years already compared to other generations. It's interesting that suddenly we jumped from 40 years of life, what we had in the 19th century, up to 80. Life is 80 years long. It's this revolution. We need to see the multifaceted nature of this transition. This is what I think about our generation. If you want to remain and speak about it, this generation, then we can talk about it. But if not, let's continue onward to corrections, to what we'll have in the future. Okay, step by step. First of all, let's capsulize the basic question that I asked. What is this human need to create a family, in a few words? This need to create a family was a need of the animal level, just like animals. It's an inner need, like they have, in an instinctive manner, that I need a family. Apart from my needing sex, family, food, and family, family is not sex. And it's not food. Maybe I have tons and tons of food, and it's really nice next to my mother, and she supplies me with my grandparents. I get tons of food, but it's not enough. It's not enough if I'm completely satisfied with sex in every possible way you can imagine. There's another urge for family inside. To know that still there are people that belong to you, and you also belong to them. It's some type of mutual obligation, that you have a connection with them at the animal level and at the human level. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you can buy any service in the world for money and a good attitude from everyone around you, but rather still there are some disadvantages in us that cannot be filled, that the whole world revolves around me and everyone will be concerned. Everyone will have everything. This space that's called a need for family still existed in a person, and he would want to do it. Apart from that, it also exists in the environment, and then the opinion of the environment would pressure him and organize him even more to fill that same space. But since he even had this small space, this small need for family, but he also had this need in the environment, how can he not have a family? Today, we even look, I remember in my time, a person who didn't have a family, they looked at him, they looked at him as incomplete. He's not a person. If there's no family, kids, then there's something wrong. There's something not okay. He's not complete. There has to be, a person has to be well-based. You meet, you start to know each other. First you ask, hello, how are you? How's the family? Are you married? Do you have kids? It was some type of, it was the basic part of a person. And this need, apparently, food, money, sex, intelligence, respect, those six vital deficiencies in a person that exist in each person in a different combination. What do you mean deficiencies? Meaning he wants those things. He has a need for those things. Food, family, happiness, money, respect, intelligence. Intelligence means knowledge. To know. Who am I? What am I? Where do I exist? Connection with his environment. Understand the laws. Our ego altogether is a desire to receive, to enjoy, to fill ourselves. This ego is being clarified to us through these six deficiencies. Ego is a desire to fill myself. And it's made up of these six spaces. Money, respect, food, family, sex, that belongs to the animal part of us. And respect, knowledge, and money has to do with the human part of us. Because it, can we stop on the third one for a moment, the family? You separated these three things. You said a person might not be short of food, but sex, but family is different. It's different spaces. Imagine you have one big space, which is a desire to receive, to enjoy, and inside this space, it's divided into six segments. So now I want to go to the third one. This is how they're in hierarchy. The most basic one is food, clearly. The next one is sex. And if I have food, I need sex. Look at animals. And family is an addition. Okay, so let's stop there at the family. As people, you're saying, even if I don't identify today, there's an inherent need in a person for family. What is this desire? What, from an emotional point of view, do I want? When I say family, what's behind that slogan? What do I want emotionally? We get mixed up between sex and family. There were long periods when one didn't even have anything to do with the other, especially, you know, in royalty, in royal families. I like some girl as a prince, and I hang out with her. And they say to me, you need to marry some monster from some other country alongside us because we need this mating. That's it. In other words, not those that would exist at the animal level close to the ground, but the higher class, or according to their wealth. She's wealthy, or we're wealthy. You have to get to know her, and then we are combining our wealth, and then we can develop onward. And that's how all those elites began that we have today. The same thing with respect, families. This is respect, and that's respect. Control. In other words, it completely has nothing to do with sex. That's clear. Now I want to look even before. It's a completely different need. I want to learn what that need is. Even I don't even want to relate to two people, connecting a man and woman and creating the family, not even at that level. Let's take one of them as a person. Let's say the man or the woman. Let's imagine a person. You're saying, if he's a person, like he has a desire for food, he has a desire for sex, he has in his nature a desire for family. Now I want to focus only on this desire and understand it from an emotional point of view. What is this desire for a family? What am I missing emotionally that I'm expecting to receive from this thing called a family? What do I really want behind this slogan? What's missing emotionally? It's very simple. I want to have some place, closed place, mine, and inside that place, I will feel inside my castle, inside a castle, And there's a woman that I love to receive from her. I like to eat what she makes. I like her making a cup of coffee, that she changes my sheets. I want her to be there inside this castle, inside this house. We don't need a castle. Inside my house. And that she'll be there. She's an inseparable part of that place. That's good and comfortable for me to be with her. Because she reminds me of my mother. It's really like that. For me, that's called family. And also the kids that come out of her and everything. It's my place. My place. It's not just any place. And it's not just that I go there to some hotel and or some place. It's my place. And there she is. And the place is one entity. What filling does it supply? This is called the filling of family. But what does it create in me? Security? No, it's not security. It's property. It's a type of property. But property at the animal level. It's not money and knowledge. Where's the place of children there? They're in addition to it, the children. First, I think about myself, how I exist in the house. I go back there, and it's my place, and it's waiting for me, and there I receive some type of filling inside. It's some type of emotional filling. A woman is a home. It can't be some apartment or even a castle without a woman. It has to be both together. And afterward, kids as well. And all this is around me. What do I expect emotionally from the kids? Also filling. All this becomes filling that's called the family. And I'm already thinking about it beforehand. I have a natural urge for it. Just like animals. But it's disconnected from sex. With the animals also, it's disconnected from sex. What you're describing here, and I suddenly got a feeling that a person inside this great big world, he wants to find a certain corner that's his. Out of this whole big thing, this is mine. And in a woman, it's even more emphasized. There's a desire to close yourself into some unit and know that in this whole great world, that it's completely not mine, there's a small little place that's called mine, and that's my family and my home. And there he's in charge. It's mine. That's the possessionist. The woman belongs to the walls, and the kids belong to the wife, and it's all mine. It's very important. In other words, the family is property. Sex is also... he's acquiring. He's in control. Let's go to the other side. Let's look from the wife's side. A wife as a person, she also has a natural need for a family. She has a need to belong to the home and to the man and to have kids. Completely opposite that. Explain it from an emotional point of view. She anticipates to belong. That's from the side of nature. What does that mean? To belong to a man who will be called her husband, and she'll be called his wife, meaning belonging to him. that she'll feel satisfaction from having someone that she belongs to. Why? Because that's nature. Nature, there's nothing you can do. You can say, where's pluralism? Where's woman's liberation? We're talking about nature. And what about kids in relation to the woman? What's her need for kids? Her need for kids are in the fact that she will feels that otherwise she won't feel like she's a woman. She won't feel like she's strong, acquiring, that she has a feeling of life and control of the home. Kids supply. Kids are. It's a subject in itself what they supply a person, what inner needs. But it goes into the term of family clearly. But I want you to say specifically, let's say from a woman's side, what emotional inner need does a woman have to have kids? What does it answer? What does it give her? I don't know how to put it. It places her as existing, to plant herself down, to make roots, to base herself, perhaps like to plant. Without that, she doesn't feel like she has roots in this world without kids. She also... She's a woman, and when she has kids, she becomes the mother. It's an additional role. First she was a woman, now she has another role. It's the connection between her and the man, and what comes of it. In other words, this need is a need that gives us a feeling of existence, a feeling that we exist and we have a part in this world. Without that, she's not called a woman. It can be a woman, a young woman, a woman without a husband and kids. Today, again, everything's in crisis. But in the books from the previous generation, a woman without her husband, without kids, without a family, it was a dangerous thing for society. It was considered dangerous. Why? Because first of all, the society has to fill her, invest in her. They have to look after her. They don't know what to do with it. A man is one thing. He goes to the army. He does stuff. He gets along. He's more mobile. But a woman is a problem. Let's put it like this. It's a big problem that many women, free women, single women are wandering around society. You're saying in the previous generation, that's how they looked at. Today, it's got other forms. We completed what the natural just need a person has inside for a family. It's part of us, even if we don't feel like it. It's just part of being human. We can expand a lot on that. Do you want to add something to that? But I think we concluded it. We're going to touch on it a lot in the future. Where we going from here? Now we want to advance to the question, maybe to begin to understand the basic principles that create family ties, good family ties. When? Now or before? What was before? In the past, a man would bring the income, and in that he'd feel that he fulfilled his role. And a woman has to do all the work at home. She has to look after the kids. And truly, they were organized in such a manner that a woman didn't have free time. And a man had, for him, it was basic. We developed technologically mainly, and technology is suddenly taking us out for a new round. But also along with technology, we need to understand that the more we can invent all kinds of inventions, technological inventions, that is also developing in us this ability with the new desires for environment, family, relationships, sex, everything. It goes hand in hand because a person in those six desires, he develops at once. It grows from beneath together. And then it turns out that through technology, we develop to a state where we suddenly need women to be at work because there are professions that without women we can't manage, that suddenly a man can't really manage with it. This is secretarial, telephone operators. From the 18th century, they connected people. Sorry, the 19th century. In other words, we began with the typing and women came out to work, to make a long story short. If once upon a time they came to work only in female professions, that was to make laundry, to iron for rich people, to clean, etc. Just like she did at home, she made another living here and there. She made little jumps outside of her home. And it's clear that it's a woman is capable of doing it. And if there's a need for family. Now, we've reached a state where we need to teach them professions that we don't have at home. And in that, we're disconnecting her from the home. She needs to learn. She needs to work. She needs to belong to some owner, the boss, factory. And things started coming apart. That's the beginning of the family unit coming apart. A woman leaving her husband's control to some other type of control, that's already a problem. Because a woman, by principle, by nature, she needs to be either under the father's control or under her husband's control, one or the other. There's no other way. Otherwise, if her husband dies, then immediately the environment has to take upon itself this problem and complete it, meaning to control her until she gets to get her married again, to make a long story short. That's how it was in all previous generations. And now, of course, because we go to university and army, etc., who controls this? And no one asks. They're just worried that she won't bring a baby home from school. I heard that at the age of 12, 13, they take her to a doctor, a gynecologist, that will give her something against pregnancy, and that's it. That's the most we can do for girls. It's not a matter of control. It's a matter of lack of control and the lack of our ability to control. And also, apart from our lack of ability, the parent's lack of desire. That's a very important point. It's not that I want to control my girls, my boys also, actually, and they aren't listening. But rather, I also don't want it as a parent. Therefore, it turns out that this development is mutual, as usual, in nature that's advancing all of us in a relatively mutual manner together. And today, women went out to the streets. They went to work. To education, sorry, not to the streets. They went. They go to learn. They get degrees. They even advance more than men. In theater, women's roles were played by men in the old days. In Shakespeare's time. There wasn't a woman that would stand in front of people. There was always a man's role. A man could appear, a woman couldn't appear. And today, they go out and So here I really want to continue. You opened a very interesting point here that you're actually saying you see in the technological development that's been created, it's gradually also human development along with it. The fact that we're pushed to develop technologies and that we're pushed to develop maybe a new family, some type of new family, it's all going one along the other. Technological development started taking a woman out of the place of the home, started taking her out, and then she started losing some connection that was natural with the family. And in that, the more she got distant, more and more, there was like some loosening of the family system. It's some process. If you spoke about the process, then I'd like to make some review, some overview of how the forms of these units changed throughout history. Because we see, when we look at the past, it started from some tribe. The family that was very big, the whole tribe, the whole village, that was my family. That's correct. There was a feeling I relied on everyone. It looks like a very pleasant feeling. I'd be happy to be part of a thing like that. The whole world is looking after me. The whole world is mine. We used to say, there's no borders. I'm not afraid of anything. We don't have a feeling like that even. We're always living on borders and fears and warnings. If I'm living in a tribe, it was a village. And then in the village, there started to be big families, meaning the families went through some process, and then they truly began to be the nuclear of the family. They started distancing themselves from the parents. They used to be next to the parents. And then a process started where people came more to the city. They started to get, the family unit got smaller and smaller. And now when I look at society, we see that the units are getting smaller. Why is it happening? How did we go from being such a huge unit? It looks like it was lots of fun in that big unit. That's where I'd like to be. Today you wouldn't be able to stand it, apparently. But why is there this process of shrinking of this unit? Our ego is growing. So what? It's listen, nice lady. We spoke about it. Our ego is developing, and that's how we grow. And from our growing, we get new forms, food, family, sex, all those things. It's developing. It's developing to new forms. But why these forms? Why big families? It's all a single, one single parent. Our ego can't stand more than that. We've shrunk. We've been distanced from. How do you see this process? Once upon a time, we were one body. Adam and Eve were one body. Then we began to multiply, let's say. It's symbolic. The country was like a village. And there were nations. There, a few people was like a nation, like in the Bible. It's all, it was all very small, like an apartment building today. We had a small ego. When you live in a place where everyone is as one family, you are obligated to everyone and everyone's obligated to you, even though it's natural happening from the side of my ego. It's all my family. It's my grandparents, my aunt. But it doesn't matter. It's felt that I also belong to them. today, my ego is becoming very individual, very personal, very narrow. It has limits. I distance myself from everyone. I'm behind the computer. I don't want to see you physically, just through the screen. The main thing for me is that I can turn the screen off. I want to be me with myself, and no one belongs to me because this obligates me. And I don't want to be obligated, not kids, not family, not wife, not parents, nothing. This is our ego. You said this desire for family, a man and woman's desire, it's my possession, and of course I have to look after it. Now you're saying, I don't want to look after it at all. I don't even want it as a property. It's coming apart. So when we look at this whole process of we were expanded, it's shrinking and shrinking and shrinking to some type of separation. It's really coming apart more and more. And also we're growing in quantity. Today we have 7 billion individualists that are alone. And they don't want to be in contact with each other. And it's going to be more and more. It's going to be a process, an accelerated process in our development. And soon we'll discover the format that no one will want to feel or understand anything about the other person. We're all going to be behind computers. And this is the only way we're willing to be in contact with others. It doesn't obligate us. I can disconnect it, he can disconnect it. And it will be isolated from everyone. As if 7 billion are in their own unit and only connecting through the communication lines. That's what we're developing towards. What family? Sex will be electrical. Family will be virtual. The kids will be, I don't know, in some laser. It will draw them. We'll print them on a 3D printer, our kids. We are heading out to a new dimension of life. I don't want to continue onward. Maybe it will seem like too much of a fantasy or imaginary, but we are reaching a new world. But maybe we'll truly, maybe toward almost the end of the first show, there's a feeling that we're coming apart. This coming apart has to reach the recognition that we are, we need to be aware. And you mean everyone needs to understand? Yes. We are at the end of our. We're coming apart. We have no ties between us. I can not be connected more than in a virtual manner with anyone. And at the same time, we need to feel the deficiencies, the spaces, the desires, that it's impossible to fill with anything. Evil inclination in our ego that distanced everyone from me. I didn't understand that. Once upon a time, I was a husband, a father, a son to parents, a grandchild to my grandparents, a cousin to my relatives. Then everything became smaller. There was a mother and father. And at work, I would meet people. I would go to the movie theater. I'd go to the theater. And then there's no more theater. I have everything at home. I have a huge screen on the whole wall. With all that, why do I need to go there? I can lie down with a beer in my hand, with a cigarette and everything. I don't need to go to work. My work I do through my computer. Let's say 2% of people altogether are working to supply them with everything. We each have our own unit. My parents, I don't know where they are. They gave birth to me. They raised me. And they're somewhere. If I want, I can call them. But usually they are my children a long time ago. They left home. They're also, I don't know where they're advancing. Once a year, maybe we connect with each other. I can see them on the screen, but that I don't need so much either. Their grandchildren, I feel as if they're very strange to me. I don't have any connection with them, etc., etc., until I feel myself, I myself. That's it. What if we reached in this egoistic development throughout time that we're alone? But what do I get out of it? From this good, I've built myself a world with everything that can supply me with everything. Does this make me happy or the opposite? Am I discovering a new deficiency? That cannot, that's erasing all this comfort that I reached, all this comfortable life that I've attained. What's being revealed exactly here in a person that reaches a state? You want to be alone? Fine. You don't know, you owe anything to anyone. You want a wife? You can order by phone. The woman will come. You want some show on TV? Here, put it on. Whatever you want. Food, you press a button. You open some door, the food will come. On the printer, you can print all kinds of food. Whatever you want to do, there's no problem. Apart from one thing, this thing has to be revealed. A big space that you cannot fill. And that's the deficiency. This new deficiency. I wanted to ask you, I really identified with this description that you gave, that a person feels alone. Maybe materially I have everything, but I'm alone. I think that there's a lot of people that will identify with me, that today a person feels like that even when he's in his house. Yes, he's with his wife. It's just problems they're bringing him. What else is there? Why do we go out and we develop our ego in us from inside? And also I see from them, I don't see any benefit from them, just trouble. What do the kids bring me? What does the wife bring me? What is all this pressure? What are all these things? It's not that my ego is demanding more. It's not just that, but also from the outside, they're causing me unpleasantness. I'm happy to be alone. I go on vacation, go for half a year, get away from me, let me rest. Lots of assets like this, lots of worries. You're saying there's like two needs that are opposite to one another. On the one hand, there's a desire to be alone, free and alone. Leave me alone. And on the other hand, this sadness of being alone, that's also not pleasant. That's a different kind of sadness. In the meantime, I don't see it. In the meantime, I see that people who live, if they know how to make good life for themselves, then the worst thing, they'll bring a woman. And if not, they won't. He can exchange them. The main thing is not to be obligated, not pressured. I don't want the other one. I don't want them to be a source of trouble. The minute that that happens, we separate. There's no problem. Soon we're finished our first talk. Of course, as always, I want to complete on an optimistic note. Give us some type of hope, a point of light. for a family that will know to take all these deep insights that you taught us today. They'll know how to take it into account and create a new, united, connected family unit that will go with all this development to the next thing. Provide the horizon in a sentence or two. I can't do that. And don't think that you can go the way that you think. If we go according to our ego and in our natural development, we'll reach that same picture that I described now, that everyone's alone and that somehow we're all completing it, we're all putting it up with it, and we're reaching suffering, and we're aware of the badness of the situation. But if we go out with the integral education, we don't need to reach this dead end, but rather now, while there's still a need for family and it's not completely disappearing, while there's still a need for children, we can now stop this trend, and we can now already make corrections, and from this point onward, create a new trend. And from this point, we'll start our next talk. Our time is up. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza Mazuz. A new family, be with us in the next talk. In the meantime, all the best, and so long.
לעשות את זה מהר, כי הם לא מתחילים עוד תוכנית. אני לא הייתי פה בדיוק בזמן, הם מתחילים תוכנית.